Another group that finds it hard to get insurance coverage are people who are dealing with addictions to prescription drugs or addiction to alcohol. The National Institutes of Health estimates that between 5 and 8 million Americans take opioids for long-term pain management. That has led to an epidemic of prescription drug addiction. Dr. Andy Chambers is a psychiatrist who specializes in caring for people with both mental illness and addiction issues. And he explained one of the rules, and it's a head spinner, that makes it difficult to treat people who are addicted to painkillers.
If you have pain, if your diagnosis is pain, then insurance will readily cover methadone for the treatment of pain. But if the diagnosis is addiction, insurance will not cover methadone for opiate maintenance treatment of addiction. This is very problematic because it discourages doctors from making even the diagnosis of addiction in the first place.
Which discourages the patient, the addict, from really feeling like that's something that needs to be addressed.
Exactly. If you move to other drugs, similar kinds of problems. For example, nicotine dependence. You know, and realize nicotine addiction is, all things accounted for, many experts would assign that to be the number one cause of premature illness and death in the United States. Because nicotine addiction causes so many diseases. It causes half of all cancer deaths, most heart attacks, most strokes, chronic lung disease, and huge medical morbidity, mortality, and healthcare costs. And yet, in Indiana, the best known treatment for nicotine addiction, the best pharmacological treatment for nicotine addiction, varenicline, is only covered for 3 months. The evidence is clear that the longer you're on this medication, the more likely you will succeed in establishing recovery from nicotine addiction. Yeah, the insurance plan will only cover 3 months. I've had patients who are being admitted to the hospital with bronchitis, a patient who is undergoing a $10,000 cancer workup for the possibility of lung cancer due to smoking. And while insurance was covering that workup, involving radiology, high-paid specialists investigating the possibility of cancer, they at the same time were not willing to cover the treatment of nicotine addiction under my care as an addiction psychiatrist. This is something that extends also to alcohol. Alcohol addiction, one very serious problem with that particular form of addiction is alcohol withdrawal. Alcohol withdrawal is potentially one of the most lethal types of drug withdrawal syndromes that there is. People die from alcohol withdrawal all the time. It really is a medical emergency that requires, in many cases, an inpatient stabilization. However, there's just no healthcare reimbursement for that. So that puts us in a situation where we have to attempt to detoxify patients on an outpatient basis. So now we're using medications that, if mixed with alcohol, could be very dangerous, but yet we don't have an inpatient bed to bring them into to actually do a supervised medically controlled detoxification.
It seems, though, and I, you know, and this is just from outside looking in, that that has kind of changed over the years. You know, it used to be that treatment centers, you know, was a 30 days and you would go in and there was detox facilities and there were kind of standalone clinics or hospitals devoted to this, and you don't see that so much anymore.
That's right. And I can explain a little bit of what that is. There was an observation that detoxification alone does not treat addiction. So someone can be addicted to alcohol and need detoxification medically, and you can bring them in and detoxify them and do that over and over and over and never really treat the addiction. So after a while, insurance companies in the treatment community began to say, what's the point of doing detoxification? Now we're beginning to actually develop treatments that do address the long-term addiction, that do potentially allow full recovery from alcohol addiction. Well, now that we have those capabilities, we still need detox because you got to get them to stop drinking at some point. So now they're really, you know, it's very interesting because now that we've kind of taken care of the need for better treatments for long-term alcohol addiction, we actually now do need more facilities to bring people in because you still got to get them to stop at some point to start the long-term treatment. And once you lose insurance coverage for a certain treatment, it's harder to get it back later on probably.
I can hear the frustration. I'm wondering if there's some hope that things might be changing or could change.
There certainly is hope. I think that, you know, a silver lining with the current opioid addiction epidemic is that it's drawing attention to the need for psychiatry and addiction medicine and addiction psychiatry be a part of healthcare. I think that stakeholders from all over the place are beginning to be part of this conversation and are beginning to emphasize the need not only for treatment, but expert treatment and treatment that's insured. One of the points emphasized in the healthcare reform movement is parity. There is an awareness that one reason our healthcare costs are so out of control that we are spending a lot on treating the consequences of behavioral health problems instead of treating the behavioral health problems themselves. So I think that there is a realization, for example, that we really need to treat addictions up front and early to prevent the medical consequences later. And I think that there's lots of reason to be hopeful that a lot of the reforms and universal health care coverage will allow that to actually take place.
Dr. Andy Chambers, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Dr. Andrew Chambers is an associate professor of psychiatry and the director of the Addiction Psychiatry Fellowship Program at the IU School of Medicine.